So I was a history major in college. So, and it's because I've always loved history. It's just, I don't know, I think my father imparted that to me. He would always, we'd be driving somewhere and he'd say, in 1772, this thing happened here. Or we'd be, driving through the, we used to go to my grandfather's house on Long Beach Island, and we wouldn't just go out route, I forget which way, 206 to 72 to go out to Long Beach Island like most people do. He would take us through the Pine Barrens because he knew a better way. And there were always like little historical things along the way. He'd say, this was a bog iron plant that was started in 1680. And I mean, there's all kinds of really neat things. And Dad and I would talk about history fairly regularly. So, as a history major, I think a lot about what's going on around me and how the world is and what how that relates to history. And I just been with all the events that have been going on. I've been, all the ways that America is sort of under attack. I've been thinking about how our founding fathers, if they were alive today, what they would think about this country. It's been 247 years since our founding fathers gathered together. And these guys risked everything that they owned. They put everything on the table for this country. Everything they cared about, even their very own lives, they put at risk. Now, I don't know if you've, there are several books about this, but all of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence either died poorly or tragically or ended up losing their whole fortunes. It was very, very difficult for them. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing that there were certain things that were very important. So let's talk about that. In that document, the founders of our nation said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator." They are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's been 247 years since a couple of guys sat down and wrote those words. The beliefs that they put into this, the belief in the equality of all people, liberty granted by our Creator, the pursuit of happiness, have all driven us to accomplish many, many, many wonderful things. And this is a great place to live. Children are now granted access to a public education from kindergarten all the way to grade 12. Most students can get grants or loans to help them to get a further education if they so desire. But as I think about education and we have a couple of granddaughters who live with us. I talk with our oldest one who goes to a local high school. I won't mention which one. She comes home and tells stories about what she hears in the school. And the thing that is always missing is that the Creator, the thing that our founding fathers thought was one of the most important things, is not mentioned in our schools at all these days. Now, we've come a long way since 1776, haven't we? It's just amazing what you can know today. A single edition of a newspaper today. Remember newspapers? Yeah. Used to read those first thing in the morning. I think there were times when there was a morning paper and an afternoon paper. Remember that? The bulletin, I think, came in the morning and then the afternoon. How exciting. Today, well, we won't talk about the value of newspapers or what kind of journalism goes into those. But if you took a typical newspaper, there's more knowledge accumulated in one newspaper than most people had in their entire lives at the time when the Declaration of Independence was written. There's more. I have a flash drive. Anybody use these, a little flash drive for sharing information and for doing different things around your family. There's more information on a flash drive today than would fit into an entire library. It's just amazing what you can do with these things. But you know, in all of this, in all of the glorious wonder of our world today, where is the mention of our Creator? Where is the mention of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You know, we can talk about events happening around the world and how wonderful the world is. We can discuss sporting events that happen across our country instantly. Instantly. Last night, the baseball game was going on, and I'm texting with Rob and our daughter Kate and her fiance Matt about the game. I mean, it's like instantly. Now, for us, we use YouTube TV, and I don't know what they use to watch it, but they're like a minute ahead of us. and I was like, spoiler alert, because I would get like, wow, Schwarber, and they're like, what? Nothing. I hadn't seen anything yet. But we can literally discuss sporting events the instant they happen. We can know exactly what's happening in Siberia at the moment, you know, we're watching it here in America. But as I look around this world, there, how few insights are there about God, about the Creator? And let me ask you a question. With all of the opportunities that we have, did you meet your Creator this morning? Did you have a moment with Him? Did you have some people, before they even get out of bed, have a little prayer time. Maybe they have their Bible next to their bed, and that's great. I hope you had a meeting with Him. But it's just an amazing, amazing world. You know, through the internet, we now have access to vast amounts of information. We have more things that our founding fathers could ever have dreamed of. You know, I remember watching a TV show at some point. Imagine Thomas Jefferson waking up in 2023. How would you explain the world to someone from 1776 about the way things are going today? We have television and cell phones and internet. We get instant news and weather alerts no matter where we are. These things could never have been dreamed of a couple of hundred years ago. And during the life of our nation, we've seen major advances in the field of medicine, in diseases that once took so many lives are now just a memory for most of us. Sadly, there are a lot of things that have, new diseases that have come on as a result of our lifestyle that you know, doctors even a few years ago would not have heard of before. And even many people in the medical field now use their expertise to kill children. So we've really come away a long way. Today we have machines and appliances to do much of our work. We can drive. We used to drive out to see Andrea's dad in Iowa, and we could get there in 2 days. The founding fathers, in their carriages and horses, it would have taken several months to make that trip, if they even survived. But civilization has really come a long way. Our air is conditioned, our water is bottled, our food is refrigerated. We've been offered more gifts and blessings as a country than you could ever imagine, and never have we been more content with things than we have today. But you know that in the pursuit of all the happiness, the things that our founding fathers wrote about, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, have we given up our liberty? You know, I think today there are fewer Christians being heard in this world than we could ever have imagined might have happened. I mean, I grew up in the 60s, and I remember when every church in every neighborhood was full every Sunday. I grew up in a small church on the other side of town, and we had to have 3 services to fit everybody in, Saturday night and then 2 on Sunday morning. Are voices being heard around the world from believers? Are we showing up on behalf of the Lord? With all of the blessings that we've received, are we bending our knee before the Lord, or are we just passing on our experience and allowing others to be the ones that speak out. I'm afraid that for the time being, so many of us have ceased to be a part of the land of the free and the home of the brave, because there's only one real freedom. All of these things bring us life and liberty and allow us to pursue happiness. But in all of those things, do we find the freedom that our founding fathers would have thought about? Are we thinking about the freedom that only Jesus can offer with all of the blessings that we have? So let's take a look at the Word of God this morning. Looking at John chapter 8, and we're going to begin with verse 31, and it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We're offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" So Jesus says here in Scripture, the person who sins is a servant to sin. Even with all the things that are going on in this world, you have life and liberty, and you can pursue happiness everywhere. Are you truly free if you are a servant to sin? Friends, you think about the number of people in this country, and perhaps some of you in this congregation are trapped in sin. It's real easy for me to turn on the television and watch these commentators that really don't understand us as believers. And they talk about Christianity, they talk about religion, but they really don't understand. And they're so happy to promote sinful behaviors, sinful appetites, sinful lifestyle. But how many of us, like the people in the world that we see in other places, are trapped in the same kinds of sin? Are we servants to sin? Are we trapped by the things that we watch on our TV? Are we trapped by food? Are we trapped by pornography? Are we trapped by money and possessions? Are we trapped by our jobs, by even being slaves to our appearances? Some are slaves to sports and physical training and popularity. Many people believe they're free. A lot of people believe that they're free, and they're living it up, only to find out that they are slaves to sin. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." That's what sin does to us. It steals and it kills and it destroys. Take a look around this world, and you can see families that are broken apart and struggling with because of sinful behavior and things that people have done in their lives, and it's such a struggle. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus didn't say he came to set up a distillery so that we could have an abundant life. My friends, you can try everything. Yoga. Do people still do transcendental meditation? Is that still a thing? I think it is. There are actually websites and people still do it. You can look to alcohol or sex or work or marriage or money, anything else in the world. But there's only one thing that gives you the real life and liberty and a pursuit of real happiness, and that's Jesus. To have that freedom, you have to know Jesus Christ. And this world says, that's not for me. You can't enforce your religious rules on me. You can't tell me I have to change my life. But I'll tell you what, there will come a day when either Jesus returns And every knee will bow, whether they like it or not, or will be called up to heaven in the rapture. It's only that freedom that provides the real life, the real liberty, the real happiness that Jesus has to offer. So back to our scripture. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and you've invited him into your heart, praise God. Maybe there are opportunities for you to daily let him into your life, to open up his word, to spend time with him in prayer, to show that you really are a disciple of his. Maybe it's the way you live your life. Maybe your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, and others around you know because of the way you live your life, you're consistent. But maybe for some of us, it's a struggle. It's hard to obey God's word every day. It's hard to find time to get into the word. Maybe you're like me, you start to pray and you get all distracted. And after a half an hour, you go, "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I got to thinking about this other thing while I was praying." God really wants to call us back. And remember, to remind us that true freedom, the true freedom that we find in Jesus Christ, the true freedom that we find in his word and in living for him is what will truly change our lives. Now, if we become part of what Jesus has to offer, he can really set us free, as he said in his word. The truth will set us free, and it will set us free from a number of things. So there are a number of things that I think about in this world that I think people are really struggling with. And I think the first thing is there's a fear of dying. I'll be old at my next birthday. No, I'll be 68 at my next birthday. I was just wondering the other day, when did 68 happen? You know, just the other day my kids were being born, and life was busy. How many of you remember your with children? How many of you remember your 40s? Nope. I got nothing. And now all of a sudden I'm looking back on my life and I'm 68 years old. I used to think the people who were 68 were really old. They were really old. As a matter of fact, I think my father died when he was 68 years old. And he's been gone now for 30 years. Am I afraid of dying? A little bit. Because you know what? I've got things. I've got grandchildren I want to love for more. I have a wife that is... Okay, you understand. She is everything to me. I have experiences that I still expect to do. I have not been to the Grand Canyon. And I want to do that. But at the same time, I'm looking at my life and thinking, do I really, really need to be here? Wouldn't I much rather be with Jesus? So there is some. But imagine what the world's thinking about when they're 68 years old and they don't belong to Jesus Christ. What do you have to look forward to? Jesus says in John 5:13, "These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you will believe on the name of the Son of God." That's where the true freedom comes from. It's not technology, although Andre will understand. I'm the first one to get the new technology. I love things. I love, you know that my iPad is 2 years old? And there are way better iPads out there than this one. How many of you have the iPhone 15 Titanium Pro? I don't. I only have an iPhone 14. Because I love technology. Technology is not going to get me into the presence of Jesus at the end of my life. But if Jesus is your Lord, if you behave, if you obey him and you talk with him daily and you listen to him, let him talk to you, he will release you from that first thing on the list, the fear of dying. You might get hit by a bus tomorrow. I was thinking about, there was a huge crash on the Garden State Parkway, and we were down that way just yesterday, and several people died. And I was thinking, as they were driving along talking and looking at the trees changing and thinking about where they were going, did they realize that in 5 minutes they would either be in the presence of the Savior or they would be in another place? Where are you with that? God can release you from that fear of knowing about the future. If you belong to him, the future is clear. That no matter what happens in your life, when he decides that it's time for you to go home, you'll go to a good place. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So that moment, the moment you come to the end of your life, you are free, as only Jesus can make it you free. To have that freedom, though, to be free, as Jesus tells us that we can be in him, you have to know him. You have to have a relationship with him. You have to say to him, I trust you and I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. And if you haven't done that, come see me after the service and we'll talk. But that's how it begins. That's how you rid yourself of your fear of dying. How about this feeling of so many people want to be wanted in this world? How many likes did you get on your Facebook post this week? Okay. Is anybody on Facebook? I got 3 likes on a post that I put up. Woo. I like people to want me to like the things I say. Facebook is not the place where you should go to find that wanting. But Jeremiah wrote in chapter 1, verse 5, he said, God told him, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. You want to be wanted? Jesus is the one that you should want to be wanted by. He is the one you should be living every day for. Jesus formed us, God formed us in the womb. He made you in your mother's belly. He wanted you to be just like him. We were created in his image. Other parts of Scripture say you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God makes you like no one else, like no one else. My father used to say, you know, it takes all kinds to make a world. Just go and sit on the boardwalk or go in the park and see all the different kinds of people that come by. But God made you like no other, and he loves you like no one else ever can. To have that freedom, though, again, we need to know Jesus, don't we? We need to talk with him on a regular basis. And then there's another thing. We need to feel needed. But so many of us, I think, feel unneeded in this world. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 says, oh, my friend, God created you with a mission in mind. Each one of his disciples is important. To have that freedom, you need to belong to the one who frees us, who truly sets us free. Jesus has work for each one of us. You know, I've counseled people that have, you know, I've lost a spouse or a child, and they say, well, I don't have anything left to live for. I said, the fact that you're still living and breathing means that God has plans for you. He has things that he wants you to do and needs you to do. And if you listen to him, he'll help you to find your mission and know that you're needed by him. Another one is guilt. How many of you have guilt? Yeah. What's the movie? Toy Story. Oh, no, now I have guilt, is one of the children's toys says. Do you have guilt? Do you feel guilty because you're maybe not doing as much as God has called you to be and to do? But why be guilty when the guilt of the past is taken away when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? To have that freedom, you have to know the one who forgives you. And the only way to know that you're forgiven is to be in conversation, to be in a relationship with Jesus every day. We can have freedom from worry. I have to tell you, this is one of my hot spots. I worry. And you know what that means? It's a lack of trust. And it's partly because I've learned that I can't always trust people. And I transfer that onto God. But God is completely trustworthy. And in the freedom that he offers us freedom from guilt. And again, to have that freedom, you have to know the one who forgives you and frees you from the guilt that you have every day. I'm sorry, worry. How many of you worry too much? Yeah. I worry a lot. I worry about what people think. I worry about the next thing that I have to do that I'm not going to get it done on time or appropriately. I worry about my children and their children. The last thing my father said to me the day before he died, he said, "I wouldn't want to raise children today." And that was 31 years ago, or 37 years ago. It was 1986. That was the last thing he said to me. And we had three more children after that, and then raised them, and now they're raising their children. I worry about them, and I worry about the world that they're going to have, and I worry that they might not have that relationship with Jesus that I have. And I hope that I can be the kind of grandfather that will help them to see that. But did you place your cares in Jesus' hands today and allow you to be free? I see some nodding. I didn't. I got up. I was worried about how the sermon was going to go. I was worried about how many people would come to church this morning. I worry too much. So pray for me that God would set me free from this chain of worry. And I know that he can, because God says he can set us free. The last one is doubt. I think all the other things go right into this. If you doubt that God can do what he says he's going to do, then it's really hard for all the other things to happen. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding, but think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right path." To have that freedom, the freedom that he says he will offer to us, that if we trust in him, he'll make us free. Did we seek his guidance today? Well, let me just tell you one story about freedom that I think just these events of the last couple of weeks will speak to you. I heard a story about a man named Aaron Zareff. He is a current resident of Israel. He lives in a kibbutz about a mile from Gaza. How much fun do you think he's having right now? So prior to the events of the 7th of the month, he had the habit of doing something different whenever the air raid sirens would go off. Instead of heading into his safe room, he would take his wife, and they would climb up the hill to an old stone tomb that was just a little bit away from their home. And they would watch what's called the Iron Dome. Now, you've heard about that the last couple of weeks. The Iron Dome is Israel's method of protecting the people of Israel from the missiles that are coming from Gaza and from Lebanon and other places. It's literally a cascade of things that shoot down the missiles over Israel and protect them. And Iran says, it's a beautiful thing. It's like fireworks going off in the sky, and it's always somewhere else. It's not over his home. So he's on the neighborhood security response team for his kibbutz. A kibbutz is a kind of a commune where people of Jewish heritage live, and they support one another and love one another. He's the head of security, and he's been doing something a little different recently. They take the training of their security team very seriously, and they've been cleaning their weapons more frequently and training with them more frequently, and they've been drilling about the things that they need to do and preparations for things. And he didn't know that this was going to happen on the 7th of October, but it did. The morning of October 7th, Saturday, October 7th, Iran heard the sirens go off, and he climbed to his usual place on the hill on the top of a tomb to watch the Iron Dome blow up the incoming rockets. And as he looked, he saw a line of motorcycles and trucks filled with Hamas terrorists driving toward his kibbutz. They were literally coming up the road to his home. He called his family. He used his cell phone to alert all the members of his security team. And they took up positions on the hill. They battled the terrorists, and they held them off until the army arrived 7 hours later. They finished the job. 500 people in their kibbutz were saved that day because of the efforts of the security team, because they were prepared to defend their freedom. It was a dark day for Israel, as I'm sure you know. But in this one kibbutz, on the edge of Gaza, Iran and his friend Baruch, who headed up the security team, had prepared their people to do the right thing, to be warriors in everyday clothes, and to defend their kibbutz because they were ready, and they were watching because they were prepared to protect their freedom. Are you prepared? Are you ready to protect the freedom that God gives to you? I'm not talking about protecting your kibbutz or your home, but your heart. Is your heart prepared to protect it for the freedom that God is ready to offer? He says to watch. Be ready. Now that's what the Bible tells us to do. Let's look at a couple of verses that tell us about this. 1 Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Seeking someone. That's us. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And there's one more. Be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Friends, freedom is available to us. Jesus says, trust me and you'll be free. You'll be free to live your life the way I designed it. I set it up for you. But it's a battle. We must every day find the way to be ready to do battle for the spiritual realm that's all around us, to help others to find their way to freedom, the freedom that Jesus offers in his word, to be doing battle in prayer for our families, for our churches, for our cities, and our nations. So let me ask you this morning, do you have the freedom that Jesus promises? Do you know the joy that comes with the freedom that Jesus offers us in verse 31 and 32 of our reading this morning? The only way you'll get it is by spending time with him, by spending time in his word, and then living out what God convicts you to do. Is it any wonder that so many people in this world who call themselves Christians are doing so many ungodly things? It's because they don't really know the risen Christ. If you spend time in the Word, it will show you exactly the way you should live and how you should love. Is it any wonder that so many of us struggle when we refuse to go to the source of all the help that we need? Friends, will you be a disciple of Christ? Will you find the freedom that he wants to give to us, the truth that will set us free? Will you know the freedom that only he can give? I believe that we're this close to seeing revival in this country. I believe that Christians are going to begin rising up and showing that they're truly disciples again. I see Christians filled with the Spirit, so filled that they're going to start turning the world upside down. Last night we had the opportunity to worship with a Portuguese congregation from Delran. I've come to know their pastor, Sergio, like a brother. And they're so Spirit-filled. Their worship was beyond anything I think I've experienced worship-wise ever in my life. But their desire to point people to Jesus and help them to find true freedom is just a remarkable thing. And I want to see us enjoying the freedom of Christ in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, just as they, you know, our friends from Palavra Viva, the church in Delran, have found it as well. I want to see us living for Christ and boldly standing for him wherever we are, because we have this freedom that he's given to us so freely. Again, I see this country again becoming the land of the free and the home of the brave. Bible says in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. How important is that? Friends, this is what God wants for us. He wants us to humble ourselves and pray and seek God and turn from our wicked ways so that he can free us from all the things that weigh us down and keep us from finding our ways to him. Would you acknowledge your sin today and find the freedom that you can only find in Jesus? It's available for you. God wants to show that he is trustworthy, that he will love you and care for you and help you to find your way to heaven if you will just trust him as your Savior and Lord today.